Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Bashani Radio. You know who I am, Mr. Broadcastpreneur. Because overcoming your fears is not an option. On the Get Your Business Right show, you know what we are all about. Being in the right environment, meeting the right people, and making the right power moves. I'm excited today because I'm with a gentleman who I met maybe about a couple years ago. And the one thing about life, especially during these times of uncertainty, especially during these times people having doubt in the stock market, having a doubt in the what's going on and prices of gas and all these other factors that people going through, the one thing people look to is laughter. So when I first met this guy, he made a big transition. He didn't want to just make you laugh. He wanted to make sure people laugh, but also understand his spiritual footprint. Understand his belief, his faith. He want to make this, not just laugh, but he want to make this world a better place. And so I want to introduce to some and to many, the one and only Mike Larry.
Yo, yo, what's happening, Mike, man? Ah, it's good to be in the house, man. What's going on with your brother?
Mike Larry, from the very first day, just watch you make that transition to just doing record comedy where, of course, you express yourself however you want to express it, to switching all the way around to making sure offering clean comedy so that way you're not just entertaining adults, now you're entertaining families.
Exactly, man.
Exactly. And so I want to jump right into your story. Number one, what made you decide to get in comedy, and who was your influence?
Man, what made me decide to get in comedy? I knew a guy. This guy named actually he's still a comic. His name is Comedian Blackberry. Me and him just so happened to work. They opened this new Home Depot, and they sent different workers from each Home Depot just to this one. He came from his, and I guess he was the funniest where he was at, and I came from mine's, and we ended up working in this one Home Depot, man. But he had been already doing comedy for about 2 or 3 years at the time. And when people found out that from my store, found out he was a comedian, they kept trying to introduce him to me. You know what I'm saying? Introduce me to him, like, because, you know, people believed that I was funny at work. You know what I'm saying? And so when we finally met up, he was like, "Hey, man, you want to do comedy?" I'm like, "I kind of do." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm funny here, but I don't know if I'm, you know, like stand up, because it's a difference, man.
Oh, big difference.
It's a difference between backyard funny and, you know, being on the stage funny. And so he was like, "Well, just come to one of my shows, man. Check me out." And at the time, he was up under Tony Roney.
Okay.
Yeah, Tony Roney, I don't know if a lot of people know, man. Tony Roney was legend, this thing, man. He's been doing comedy over 30 years, and he probably had every comedian spot, you know, every bar and grill and every comedy club that has anything to do with Detroit, he's been doing it, man. And at the time, Blackberry was selling comedy tickets for him and everything, man.
Okay.
Same thing. Same with Tony Dorney doing now, man.
Tony had changed. Tony,
oh,
doing
yeah,
the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I went and checked him out, man, and he bombed. Now, me and him both was the funniest at Home Depot, man. Like, you know, but when I seen him bomb on stage, I was like, "Oh, no, this ain't for me, bro." You know, if you bomb, right, that means I'm about to bomb, too. And it was terrible, you know what I mean? It was to the point he didn't even come see me after he got off stage. You know what I'm saying? So years go by, man. He got fired, and he stayed in touch with me. You know, at the time it was house phones. It wasn't no cell phones. It's house phones.
No cell phones, house phones.
Yeah, it was like 05, 04, 03, 02, 03, 02, 01, 01. He stayed in touch with me from 01 to 05. He would call me periodically. And he just so happened to call my phone one day, and I had got fired too. This was like 2 or 3 years later, man.
So y'all both were so funny, you got fired.
Both got fired, bro. And he was like, "Man, you know, I host this room called Mandy's. It's on the east side, man." He was like, "Come out, come check it out." I come out and check it out. He tried to put me on stage then. I was like, "Nah." I'm one of the ones, I'm kind of a perfectionist, you know what I'm saying? I like to be prepared. Right. You know what I'm saying? If I ain't prepared, I don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying? And so when he had me to do that, he tried to put me up. I was like, no, I'll come back next Monday. I came back next Monday. The very first time I went on stage, man, I got a stand ovation. Mm. I wrote my jokes out. I knew 1 through 5 what I was doing. And they stood up and clapped after that. And I just had the bug ever since, man. Been doing comedy ever since, brother.
Wow. And I'm glad you said that, man. I think a lot of times when a person's on a path and when their life takes a new trajectory, a lot of times when we look at what purpose, look at what inspired them and who inspired them, a lot of times the first thing come to a person's mind is some well-named person. Mm-hmm. But for you, you mentioned someone who was local.
Yeah.
You know, right here in Detroit. And so that just goes to show that how important it is for everyone to share their gifts.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Because just that little small situation, that interaction has turned your life in a whole different direction.
Man, I'm telling you, bro.
Because how long have you been doing comedy full time now?
I've been doing it 10 years full time. I've been doing comedy for 16 years.
16 years altogether.
Yeah, 16.
And 10 years full time. So I want to make sure I'm clear for the audience out here, ladies and gentlemen. Since we know there's a lot of people who do certain things. Now, as everybody already know, I'm an author. I'm a speaker.
Yeah.
I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
I'm a podcast producer. So I wear many different hats.
Yeah.
And none of those hats are all full time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for you, no, you say full time, let's make sure you're clear. So it was no 9 to 5 after that.
No 9 to 5, man, after that, man. And to be honest, it was even within them 6 years, it was times where I was working for 2 years and I wasn't then. You know what I'm saying? But I just said 10 years full. Like, I never went back. You know what I mean? And, it was tough times. You know, we got, with comedy, man, any entrepreneur, you got good months and bad months.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's all about what you put into it.
And I'm sure being smart and of course, you being a family man, you had to make decisions not just for you.
Oh, yeah.
You got other miles to feed.
Yeah. Other than that, I'd have did it 16 years full time. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But that's still a blessing, even for 10 years. You're taking care of your family, wife, kids, just off of your gift of getting people to laugh. That's phenomenal.
That's crazy.
Because it's a lot of people who want to get in whatever field, they want to do it full time. Mm-hmm. But for you to do what you love, and I'm sure financially you had to. One thing I learned in business is that when you have a big payday, pay the bills up.
Man, definitely. Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Pay the bills up.
Yeah.
Hit 3-4 months up if that's the case. That way, if it's a slow month in between,
you straight. It took me a while to learn that, man, because when they got, you know, you look for that big payday for so many years or so long until when it happened, you like, oh, man, it's fun time. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing that you got to come back to these, you know, light bill, gas bill, phone bill. Like, you know, you got to come back to these little problems. The roof need to be done. The driveway need to be paid. You know what I'm saying? So it's best to get that out the way and then it kind of leave you free, you know, to have your mind clear and you can concentrate on your art.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you. So many people in various fields when they go on and on, whether it be comedy, singing, dancing, entrepreneur, to have the right financial mindset to make those decisions. And like I said, it's easy to get caught up in the big paycheck. Oh, it's vacation time. We're going shopping.
Yeah.
We're going to paint the car. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
My wife be like, yeah, she always got plans for the money. Oh, we can hold on, man. You know what I'm saying? This ain't that. Yeah, hold on. But yeah, bro, I guess, you know, it's all about making the right decisions, you know what I'm saying? Which can be hard sometimes, especially as adults, you know?
Exactly. And I'm excited about, one of the things that I noticed about you is, for the audience, if you didn't know, and he hadn't even shared it yet, but I'm gonna segue right into it. This brother has been so phenomenal. And helping other people, just like he said, the comedian Blackberry helped him. He's been helping other comedians for years also, who look to you as a mentor. But what is, I'm going to say, the pinnacle at this point in time is that you actually started your own comedy school. So tell us the name of your comedy school, what inspired you to do it, and what direction do you see that going in the next 5 years?
What made me start it was I always, like, you know, anybody in the comedy game that came under me, meaning, like, as far as years, like, you know, anybody that's under 15 years or so, I've always been a hand and a word of encouragement. You know, I tried to help them with their set and or groom them or show them the way, you know what I mean, or the mistakes that I made. And I was doing it so much, man, and to the point I'm like, you know, when the pandemic happened, I had to find a different source of income, you know what I mean, and still do something that I love. And God put it on my heart to do a school. The price I charged was super cheap, but sometimes when you get a chance to be in your craft and your gift, it you can't put no price on that.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And then helping others, man. I love to see others succeed and do something that they love to do and things that they think they couldn't have done.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And if I can help somebody do that and reach some of their goals, man, I'm it makes me happy, man.
What's the name of your school?
It's called Funny is Funny.
Oh, Funny is Funny.
Funny is Funny because, you know, as you know, as Mike said earlier, I do clean comedy. And people's like, man, what's the difference? Like, what's the difference? Like, ain't no difference, man. Funny is funny. If it's funny, it's going to be funny. Whether it's dirty or clean, if it's funny, it's funny, man. And so that's been my motto. I always say, you know, funny is funny. And I'm like, dang, that's the name of the school. And it's been the name of the school, man. Oh.
How many students have you brought to your school so far?
23.
Okay.
23 students. 23 students. I had a group. I do groups of 8, you know what I mean? And you might have 2 or 3 drop off or something, but each class holds 7 to 8 people. And we do it online for 6 weeks. And once the 6 weeks up, you'll have an idea of knowing how to write a joke. You'll know you'll have a 5 to 7 minute set. You know how to structure a joke. You'll know how to navigate in the comedy world, you know, and how to make money. You'll know how to merchandise, you know, sell merchandise for your own self and become your own business, you know. And then even after that, man, like every student that graduated from my class is still along with me, man.
And I noticed one particular comedian, he was, I guess, trying to find his way on his own. But I noticed once he came to your class, you've had him host for you, and he seems more confident, more poised.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. You get people, you know, I'm one of them people, man. I see the good in anybody, you know what I'm saying? And long as your heart is right, man, I go by your heart. You know, it don't matter about the exterior, you know, what you look like or what you're doing and how. If your heart is pure, man, and you want to be a better person, then I'm here for it, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the same thing God give us every day.
That's right.
You know, we get undeserving grace every single day, man. So who am I to judge somebody else on what they do?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's about, do you want to do better? You know, man, and I don't know if we talking about the same guy, man, but this guy was kind of like kicked along. Nobody really wanted to mess with him. And he came to me one day, and I'm like, man, come on, man. This who he is, man. What you want to do? You know what I'm saying? He come in. The first day he come in, he walk in with a 40-ounce bottle in my clean room. I'm like, hey, man, can't do that. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mike, I ain't know. You know what I'm saying? See, that's the part right there that make me want to help somebody. Now, if you want to continuously do it, then that's something different. But somebody will say, oh, man, I ain't know. So everybody don't know. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people need to be taught. And so the next time he come in, man, he come in with it in a cup, like one of those cup to keep your stuff warm and cool. Come in with like a little mug with a handle. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? I mean, I ain't telling you to stop drinking. You do what you want to do, man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But you got to respect the building. You got to respect the environment. You got to respect my establishment. You know what I'm saying? That's all I ask.
Well, at this point in time, we're going to take a quick break.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back To get your business right show on the Bashani Radio, you already know this is New York City. Always talk about everything. And we're here with the hilarious Mike Larry, who's not just funny, but he's helping to change this world one person at a time. That's baby. Right. And so, Mike, I'm like I say, that one particular comedian, man, I remember hearing him, and I'm going to say his name. I've heard him for maybe a year.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of just getting tossed around, and nobody really wanted to. The only time they wanted to bring him up was just so they could make him.
Yeah.
His whole act once he got finished, you know?
Yeah. Right. So they could talk about him. Yeah, man. Kellen Kilroy is, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, with him, man, he was just a guy who sometimes, you know, he was just in his own way. You know, when I first met him, I'm like, you know, he was funny, but he couldn't recognize that he was funny. And he kept trying to do other little stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, man, once you take the course, so he took the course and I helped him build a set. Like I told you, you know, that's the main focus is building a 5 to 7 minute set. And for those who don't know what a set is, that means structured jokes. Like you're going to go boom, 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 boom. And it's going to be 5 to 7 minutes long. And that's what we work on for the whole remainder of the 6 weeks. So we tweak it and we add words here to make it a little more powerful, take words out. And that's what we did for 6 weeks, man. And when he did the graduation portion of the class, he did excellent. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't be more proud of him, you know. And going into that, after the class is over with, I have a building that they go to and they work out every week. And so he would come back every week and start working out, and he wasn't doing the set that he graduated with. He was going to do new stuff. And that's the problem with a lot of newer comedians. They get bored with the old and they mm-hmm. want to try new stuff, but you haven't perfected the old yet.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like if you got a restaurant and you say, hey man, I perfect pancakes. We got the best pancakes in the world. You're not going to just make that pancake one time.
That's right.
You got to tweak that pancake and figure out how to make it with the crispy edges, or you might want to do different type of, you know what I mean? But it's take time to develop and build that. And that's what, you know, it's tough as a new comic, you know, but that's what you want to do. You want to master being funny within that 5 to 7 minutes. And then you can move on to add more minutes. So he would do different things all the time, man. And I would give him no slack. You know what I mean? Because I feel like this, if I praise you when you do okay, when you do great, it won't matter as much. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
If I'm not honest with you, how do you know where you're growing from? You know, I like somebody to be honest with me so I can know how to grow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so that's what I was doing with him. So man, he would be bad, man. I know he hated me at one point. You know what I'm saying? Like he'd tell you, you know. But eventually, man, he got it together. Now he's banging his way, man. People talking about him. His name is ringing through the comedian world. He getting booked now. So yeah, dude, I'm proud of that guy, man.
That's excellent, man. Well, I know you probably wouldn't expect this. One of your trademark jokes.
Oh.
It's the Judge Mathis.
Yeah.
Just for a quick 30 seconds, just say the phrase of yeah. Judge Mathis.
Yeah, well, you know, because I'm going to tell you something ironic about this. The whole Judge Mathis character is a character I've been doing since the seventh grade. It was a gym teacher I had. His name was Mr. Oliver. And this guy would never want us to hoop, never want us to play basketball. You know what I mean? And so he would tell us, if we talk, then we're going to get a zero, and then we out. And then, so he'd be like, the whole thing is, if we be quiet, he'll let us play. If we talk, he won't. So he'll sit down, man. He'll make us all sit down, and he'll be sitting there reading the newspaper. He'd be like, hell, man, you ain't got to participate today. And you participate, you're going to get a zero. And 3 zeros, you out for the rest of the year, man. That's the way I feel. You know what I'm saying? And so I used to imitate him all the time, man. People like, man, do Mr. Oliver. And so when I heard Judge Mathis, I'm like, he sound like Mr. Oliver. And so I just put Judge Mathis' words in it. Because, you know, he always calls somebody crackhead. And you're always telling somebody to be quiet. You know what I mean? So as soon as you come in, I'll be quiet, ma'am. That's because you a dope fiend. That's what crackheads do. I know you're a crackhead. You probably want to get high right now. That's what I see. I'm from the streets of Detroit. See, That's what dope means, hang out. You know, you always talk about where you're from, and you know what I mean? But that became my signature. I got that from Mr. Oliver, man.
That became one of your signature moves.
One of my signature moves, man, especially when I first started. Like, if nothing else worked, I always go back to that. Like, you know, if I'm doing bad, if it's a bad situation, you know what I'm saying, and I'm not doing good on stage as a new comic, man, I use the parachute. Yeah, hey, man, anybody watch court shows? And they were like, yeah. Man, one of my favorite characters, Judge Mathis Ludger. And as soon as I start doing it, it'll get the laughs, and I'll leave. All right, that's one time. I'm Mike Larry, you know what I mean?
Now, real question is, has Greg Mathis heard you?
Yeah, I did his 10-year anniversary. Downtown. This is kind of like when I first started. And then I ended up going onto his show.
Oh, you was on the show?
Me, Tony Roney, and this lady named Chevy.
Okay.
So the Chevy was suing Tony Roney. And I was on her side. I was like her witness or something.
Against Tony Roney.
Against Tony Roney, man. Yeah.
The same one.
Yeah, the same dude, man. And yep. I even made a joke about Tony Roney and Judge Mathis' voice, man. So it was kind of cool. Yeah, yep. Tony Roney, you know, put that together. You know what I'm saying? He's like, man, you need to come on there too, man. Yep. Sue Tony Roney, dog.
Oh man, that's hilarious right there, man.
Yeah, dude.
So where do you see your school going, and where do you see your school going, number one and two, from the comedians who've already come to your class? Where do you, based on their talents and what they're doing now, where do you see them going also?
Man, it's a lot of talented students. Like for one, a lot of them were already acting and doing commercials. They heavy in the acting world. I got some DPs, you know, directors and all that. Like, there's people in that class that's really doing it, man. And I feel like with every last one of them, they're talented enough to take them wherever, you know, whatever hard work they put in, whichever way they go, you know what I mean? It's kind of like finding your lane, you know what I mean? You want to find where you're good at and dominate that area, you know, and then you can move over, but dominate where you're good at, you know what I mean? I feel like all of them pretty much, it's a couple of them, man, I know that if they really, really put the work in, they could be super, super great, man. There's a few of them that's going viral on the internet already. And as far as the class, I just feel like I want the class to grow. I want those guys to help more. You know what I mean? Like how I reach to them, I want them to better reach to others. Like,
exactly.
I tell them even at the spot when we're doing comedy, like, I have each one of them kind of watch the other one, watch the newer comics. And I asked the man, what do you see he doing wrong? He's like, oh, man, he ain't holding the mic right. I said, so when he come on stage, let him know that, man.
That's right.
It's about developing, man. And then once you start becoming a teacher, it betters you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so, but yeah, that's the whole thing, man. But I really just want it to be love in the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want, like, I told a student the other day, I said, once we get to the point where we don't mind whoever take the last shot, as long as the team win.
That's right.
I don't have to take the last shot. I said, you might write a movie and I don't fit the characters. I should be cool with that and support whoever else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It'd be my turn next time or something. You know what I mean? Once people start learning that they don't have to be the one to take the last shot, don't have to be the big name on the billboard all the time, man.
So let me ask you this, Mike. This is a question here. Number one, being a man and being a successful man in your field of industry, what are some things you do to keep your ego out the way? You just explained right there. You want to see everyone win.
Yeah.
And if it takes everyone to win, taking a step back and letting someone else take that position or take that role, you're willing to do that.
Yeah.
And so what are some things you do to not let your ego get in the way?
I'm gonna tell you, if I had to do it through flesh, it wouldn't be done. Meaning mine's come from God just keeping me grounded. You know what I'm saying? And knowing that what God purpose and what God have for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Bible say what God has, you know, can no man take away. And so as far as me knowing, like, man, God has this for me and God gave me these promises, it makes me not look at what other folks, like, I'm not in a competition with this person next to me and this person next to me.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I'm really trying to beat is me, man. I want to be who I was yesterday and who I am, who I was 2 years ago. I want to be a better me than I was on stage yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And once people start competing with their own self, and don't get me wrong, I want to be the best in the city and the best in the world. Like, eventually, one day, I want to be the best. Like, I'm aiming to be the best that I can be in the field that I am. I am competitive. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not a jealous-hearted person. I don't want to see nobody else fall. It just, if I see you working hard, I got to step my game up. Good job, though, bro. You know what I'm saying? I watch a guest guy, Howie Bell, man. Howie Bell been doing comedy probably about 30 years, too. And he came in the game way, he was before me. And I'm going to say way, but, you know, a few years on me. And I'm still a student, man. I watch these guys, and I still admire some of the things that they do. I might see him do a immaculate set, and it make me go home and, man, I need to tweak my set, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't get jealous. Y'all, this dude terrible. No, man, I want to work hard. I want to be great too. You know what I mean? I want to put the hours in, you know?
Well, I'm glad you said that, man, because as you can obviously see, man, we live in times where people are so self-absorbed with themselves.
Oh, man, yeah.
But also so insecure.
That's a big thing.
And given that, people, we live in a microwave lifestyle now. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to skip the process. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do the hard work.
I tell them that all the time, man. I tell each last one of them students, like, hey, man, you. A lot of them come into this comedy world thinking that they about to have a million followers and travel all around the world and go on tour and be one of the funniest people in the world. It don't work like that, man. Mm-hmm. Like, this is real world. It's almost like how, I know you got kids.
Yeah.
When your kid's young, or even me as a teenager, man, I'm like, I can't wait to leave this house, man. I'm gonna get my own house, and I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? And when you get out in the world, you like, man, I wanna go back home. This is a real world out here, bro. You mean bills due every month? You mean I gotta buy my own groceries? I gotta, like, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no joke out here, man. I remember I could just wake up on a Saturday and then go back to sleep. Go out and play with my friends, then come back home. My mama uncooked, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's a real world out there, and once reality hits, you start seeing, like, okay, this ain't as easy as I thought it was.
That's right.
It looks good from the outside. Like, I go on stage and people say, man, you make it look easy, and they think they try and they can't do it.
You don't realize it took time and time again.
It took time. I practice, man. I work on my set every single day.
Yeah.
I work, even with this, you know, somebody say, yeah, man, you've been working, you do this full time. Yeah. I get up at 6 a.m. and I probably don't stop working to. I never stop working. I'm always open.
And just like you said, Mike, you said when you was in class, you was imitating Mr. Oliver Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that your imitation of him
was gonna
take you.
That's crazy.
To your dream.
Yep.
I remember someone asked me, they saw me speak, and they said, man, you make it look easy. I said, what you don't know, I was in high school.
Yeah.
I was listening to Les Brown.
See? Yeah.
So I was going behind and saying, hey, fight for your dreams.
Yeah. Man. That's my boy, Les, man.
And I was constantly mimicking him and listening to him. And then I started listening to other great speakers. And as I listened to other great speakers and learning a little bit from this one and that one. And I didn't take it seriously. My situation almost simmered Les Brown. And if you know his story.
His mom and all that.
No, he had started, as far as the speaking, no, he was speaking and he stopped. Because he was told, you're not smart enough, you don't have enough education. So he stopped speaking.
Mm.
He didn't start speaking again for 20 years later.
Dang, what?
And I've had the same trajectory. I had people told me the same thing. Damn. I was 17, 18 years old. I said, you don't need to be speaking, man. You don't know enough about life yet. You can't share anything with anybody. You haven't experienced anything. Mm. I should have been telling them to shut up and just kept on speaking.
Yeah.
But it took tragedy in my life
for
me to come out of it and say, okay, I still got my extremities. I got a mouth. I got a mind. 10 toes down, let me share my gift with the world.
That's smart. That's dope, bro.
And so I'm excited about you because you have done the same thing.
Yeah.
And so we get here to the close. What are some closing things you want to share with the audience and possibly someone who may be thinking about becoming a comedian? What is something you would like to share, offer some insight or whatever, you know?
I think my biggest thing, man, is something that just hit me probably this year. It's stop letting people put a cap on you, man, and tell you you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like who are they? Who are they to say that you can't do this?
That's right.
This dream that you have, or this vision that you have, or this idea that you have, who are they to say that you can't do it, man? That's just their point of view. That's just their thought.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so if God gave me this vision, man, I'm going to do it. And for those who uncertain, if it's something that's just bothering you, man, that you can't sleep, you think about it all the time, I mean, it's meant for you to do. And that just bothers me, man. Even with this show that I got January the 30th, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to talk about the show real quick. So let them know about the show.
The show I got January the 30th. It's 1,600 people, man. And people was telling me, man, get a smaller spot. You know, man, get a spot that only hold 200. And you know what I mean?
That's the limitation.
That's how big your God is. Whatever you feeling like. That's what you want to do. Me, man, I want to live beyond what I can vision. You know what I'm saying? And the last show I did, a one man show, was 600 people. So I'm like, I want to see something bigger, man. And it's just my vision of what God gave me. So, but it's January the 30th, man. I'm taping it to pitch to Netflix. It's probably one of the dopest comedy shows that's gonna hit the city this year, man.
So give us the name of the show.
Reffitt Theater. It's called Try Not to Backslide.
Backslide.
Yeah, pretty much based on, you know, my life, man. Even with church, with my diet, all that. You know what I'm saying? Because backsliding can be anything. You know what I mean? I'm backsliding from falling off my diet. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a battle of life in itself. And you feeling like, you know, maybe God don't love me no more after I do this. But not knowing that, man, we covered under grace.
That's right.
So you can't get from up under grace, man. God is going to continue to love you. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what made me come up with this whole title, Try Not to Backslide. I put it into a jokingly form, man. It's clean. You can bring your family, your grandma, your auntie, your kids, man. You definitely going to love it, man. You're going to enjoy yourself. It's a whole production, man.
And is there an email link that can order tickets or?
They can have my personal number, man. It's 313-629-7118. All you got to do is mention Good Helpers, man, Heating and Cooling, and I'm going to throw $2 off of that, and there you go. VIPs is $50. Well, actually, VIP is sold out, so it's only general admission now. $25 tickets, man, but every seat in the house is pretty much a good seat. We live taping and doing a red carpet, so make sure you're dressed and impressed. If you don't want your side chick, your side dude on camera, don't bring him.
That's right.
It's gonna be live, but yeah, man, Mike, I appreciate you having me, brother.
Oh, Duffy, man, you're changing the world, Mike.
Man,
and see, you fit the slogan of what my show is all about. You're making sure you are around the right people,
yeah.
And see, now with your gift, you're helping people make the right power moves.
Dope, man.
And that's what we're all about here. Meeting the right people, being in the right environment, making the right power moves. And so you're doing it, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to see this show, man. This show is really a testament of, I won't say new, but part of the growth for Detroit of the new narrative.
Yeah.
They can see the comedy and the people in Detroit, they can see a whole different narrative. They can see that, hey, you could be funny without having to use a bunch of vulgarity. Mm. Bunch of foul words, and like I say, it's family friendly, and that's what all communities need. In order to have a community, you have to have family.
Yeah,
and you doing just that, man. So I appreciate you, man, for coming on to Get Your Business Right show, man.
Get Your Business Right, Mike Muse.
That's right,
man.
Michael Muse. That's right. Sir. And you already know who I am, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, author of Rise and Burn, and From Pain to Power. Because overcome your fears is not an option. I love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. See you next time.
get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.